Well, then your wife is, was a Long Beach resident?
My first wife was born in Iowa. And I met her down at the Majestic Dance Hall in Long Beach. So all the survey crews from the Harbor Department and the city would always go into the Majestic. And she was a nurse in training at Memorial Hospital. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met her.
And her name was?
Hazel.
Hazel.
Hazel Packer, when I met her. And we had three children, two boys and a girl.
Were you interested in Camp Fire Girls for any, you know, reason? Was your daughter in Camp Fire?
No. The reason I got interested, Herb Davies had this, his Ann, his wife, was interested in Camp Fire through the Bixby's. And he looked, because I was worked on the survey crew, I went up to the mountains with him to look at the place he was going to build his mountain camp place at. Mm-hmm. And so it was so screwed up that I told him he needed some help. So we finally got it worked around, and we used to got all the donated labor and everything, and we'd haul up their material, had it built. We could handle about 125 girls at a time. We had a mess hall and a kitchen, and above the kitchen was a place where we cooked, slept, and we had a little hospital. We had a toilet area, and then we had a place for the kids to take showers, and then we built slabs, and there was a little building adjacent, so the kids could all sleep outdoors if they wanted, and if it rained or something, they could have enough room to get all their cots inside.
Well, were your boys in Boy Scouts, or?
Well, the boys were, yes, they'd been in the Boy Scouts, but they didn't do too much with it. They just went in and out like they did, sold newspapers and everything like the rest of them.
I know that Virginia Moore told me about her father giving the land for the Boy Scout camp up along the Los Angeles River, you know, the local camp here. And I know Camp Sawanda, I think.
That was Camp Fire.
Yeah, it was Camp Fire. It was right along in there.
Well, you know where Artesia goes across.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And to flood control, just north of Artesia in that area, and it was where Sawanda was.
Yeah, because at least one or two of my daughters went there in the Florida Day Camp kind of thing.
Oh, they used to have a nice time.
Then you lived mostly on Brayton, most of your family was on Brayton?
I lived there from 31 to 40 or 71. Mm-hmm. My wife passed away in 70.
I'm interested in how some of the neighborhoods developed, too.
Well, all of this area, when I first came out in 31, there's only a few houses in the area there on Brayton, at 3512 Brayton, and Bixby. It was everything out past Bixby was wheat or oat fields.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't anything there.
Mm-hmm. So the whole California Heights area was.
But that was the first one, and see, there wasn't anything below. Wasn't anything below Wardlow.
Mm-hmm.
The strip from Wardlow to Bixby. This was a subdivision.
Uh-huh.
And then later on they came on the rest of them and added them, but that's what there was at that time.
Well, the Los Cerritos extension of the Long Beach oil field went on up into Los Cerritos in the 20s.
The
Chateau Ferry area that was going to be developed, I guess.
Well, the amount of oil was never very much. On Brayton Avenue, I was in three or four different oil leases, but it never got anything out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't afford to drill them with oil at $1 a barrel. It wasn't enough. The production wasn't any good.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, during the Depression, even the oil industry sort of slowed down.
Well, yeah, but then that was, you see, the harbor didn't have that. That was in Signal Hill.
Yes.
And of course, everybody, you know, when you didn't have any money, see, people talk about oppression. This isn't a depression.
No.
It's just something for people to bellyache about. They don't know what a depression is. I had a house with two mortgages and a wife and two children and no job. Mm-hmm. I tried to get my house back to the guy that had the first trust deed. And he said, how much money you got? I told him I had $225 cash. And he said, let's go see the guy that's got the second. So we went to see him. And they argued back and forth, and he said to the man with the second, what are you going to do if he gives me the house back? And he says, well, I'll rent it. He says, you aren't going to rent my house. So he said, we'll give you $200 for the second trustee. So that was my money. So he did. So I ended up with a house with only one mortgage and no job and $25. But now you've got people say that you have a depression, and you'll have 90,000 kids in the Coliseum at a rock concert at $25, $30 a head. You couldn't have gotten 5,000 in there during the Depression, no matter what you had.
And a lot of them had cars, too.
Oh, they do. I run a WPA job. I had 700 or 800 men one time when I was working, doing a job in the harbor. We at the transit shed at Pier A berth 1 and 2. Another fellow and I, we filled out the forms and sent the forms to Washington, and they funded the money and sent us the money to build the thing, and so we built a transit shed. The first transit shed we had in the harbor was built out under WPA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They did other things in Long Beach too, I understand, the WPA. Sewer pipes in North Long Beach?
Oh, that would be under the city, but in our place we did this particular job.
I see.
But those people were working. I had some people working for me that made $100,000 a year before as attorneys. Were working for $15 a week with a shovel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that's different.
Yeah. You're probably thankful to get $15 a week at that point.
Sure, I finally got a job. while working for the Corps of Engineers, 35, I finally got a job working for the Corps of Engineers. For them, I've worked part-time for the city. Mm-hmm. I've been working for both of them before. But I run a survey crew from San Diego to Morro Bay, and I got $1,800 a year, less 3.5% for pension.
Oh, my.
And I mean, many a day I've left here at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive up to Santa Barbara. We're doing a project in 35 and a beach erosion survey at Santa Barbara, and drive up to Santa Barbara and work all day and come home at night because we couldn't afford to stay in Santa Barbara. They never knew there was depression. And the government gave us $375 for board and room if we were going 24 hours. In Santa Barbara, you couldn't get a place to stay for less than $5 a night, and your meals are on top of that, so nobody would.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So people don't know what takes it to go to the world go around.
Yeah. What do you think about changes in the city of Long Beach, not the harbor, but changes in the downtown area in Long Beach?
Long Beach has always had a problem, and this is, I've griped my head off about it, by absentee ownership. Because people came into the area and they put their money in a building and they milk it and they never want to do any improvements or never want to do anything about it. And that's why the whole downtown Long Beach collapsed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
After 50, 60 years of taking everything out and not putting nothing back in, you used to I could get you 10,000 votes. No votes to give away $5 bills on the corner of Ocean and Pine if the people knew they were going to get them. They always voted no anything about money. Because they knew how much they had, and if they didn't change their mode of living, they knew how long they were going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And they never wanted to improve anything. And that's one thing that's been tied around Long Beach's neck all these years.
Well, your brother, Sam Vickers, was city manager for a number of years. Did he come from South Dakota along with you? Or?
No, he came, I think, in 1963, 34, if I remember. Mm-hmm. I got through college and then came back, came out here, he and his wife. Drove into my place to stay and had a flat tire on his car. And I said, why didn't you fix it? He says, well, I decided if another one went flat, he said, I'd have two to fix.
How long was he city manager? I didn't pick him up.
He was old. I don't know, 15, 16 years at different. He was city manager once, then he went up to Vallejo, then he came back and was city manager again. Then he left here and went to Phoenix.
I see. Had he worked in other city departments before?
No. Well, he, no, wait a minute. Let's see, what, how did, I've forgotten just how he did start. But he was, yeah, he was working for the city when he got to be city manager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that almost seems sort of a hazardous job.
Well, I could never get my brother to be a good city manager for 4 or 5 years and then go someplace else. He never wanted to delegate authority, and you can't do it all yourself.
Mm-hmm. You have a coronary if you do it.
I always got the best assistance I could get, told them that they were going to run it. If they couldn't do it, and I had to do it, then I was going to get somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can do it. Mm-hmm. If they need anybody to help them fight, I'd help them fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were retired in 1969. What have you been doing in the last
years? From 69 for 5 or 6 years after I retired, I was the executive director of the Pacific Coast Association of Port Authorities.
Oh.
And in charge of all, and of the port authority work on, of all the Pacific Coast ports, Washington, Oregon, California, and British Columbia, and Hawaii.
Where were you working?
Out of Long Beach.
Oh, I see.
And I'd visit the ports and put on the conventions and help get all the, do all the work, do all the.
Sounds like a pretty active retirement.
Well, that was fun.
I think you were about 66 when you retired. 66, 67?
67, I think. They wonder why I retired, and I told them that I wanted to retire while everybody loved me.
And since that time, you said you lived in the desert for a while?
I lived in Palm Desert for 3 years. I lived in Long Beach the rest of the time.
And when I spoke to you the other day, you said that you were working on Meals on Wheels?
Oh, yes. Once a week we deliver for Meals on Wheels.
Well, I think you have a fairly active retirement.
Oh, yes. I'm chairman of the board of this building this year.
Uh-huh.
I get through that the 4th of August, so then I got 52 little old ladies to tell me what to do.
who come and complain to you when things go wrong?
Always.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Vickers. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Okay.